Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
I'm going to continue talking about power and dominion. So many Christians think that all Christianity is about is when you die. It's not just when you die, folks. It's the moment you get saved. It's the way you live. You're supposed to live in victory and power. Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion, and let them have dominion, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth." Dominion over all the earth. You may be seated. So many Christians just do not realize what it means to be a real Christian. When you're a Christian, the Bible said you're a new creation or a new creature. In other words, you're a different species. Real Christians that are filled with God's Spirit are as different from a normal human as an animal is from the human family. When you get totally filled with God's power, you are a transformed individual. If the same Spirit that was in Christ is in you, it shall quicken you, make you alive. But so many Christians think that all that salvation is about when you die. All it is fire insurance. That's not what it is. It's a transformation now. And so many Christians have no real experience with God. When the great religious leader Nicodemus came to Christ and he said, "What must I do?" Jesus said, "You must be born again." You must be born again. And the new birth, born again, is not just shaking the preacher's hand. It's not joining the church. It's not going through a launch class. It's not singing on the worship team. Being born again is that you are infused with His power. Jesus said, "If you believe on me as the Scripture has said," there's the key, as the Scripture is, not as the Catholic Church said, not as the Baptist Church said, not as the Presbyterian Church said, not as the Pentecostal Church said, "but believe on me as the Scripture has said." And friend, when you begin to understand the revelation of Christ, that God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, and He was Emmanuel, God with us. He came to this earth and sinned not, and endured temptation for all of us. You say, "Oh, I just can't make it. I can't do it." Oh, yes. Jesus has already been through all of this. He knows exactly what you're going through. And Jesus Christ took your sins without one of His own sins. He was sinless. He went to that cross and took your sins and nailed your sins and the ordinances against you to that tree. And then 3 days later, He rose again and declared that He had all power. And then Jesus talked to His followers, 500 of them that diminished to 120. And He said, "When you go to the upper room and the church is born," He had already prophesied to Peter about this church. He said, "I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That means secularism will not prevail against God's church. Intellectualism will not prevail against God's church. Sin will not prevail against. God's got a church that is guaranteed by His own blood. Jesus Christ signed the contract, and He sealed it with His own blood. And He told Peter, because of the revelation, that you know who I am. Because he asked Peter, "Who do you say?" He said, "I say thou art the Christ, the Son of the living." He said, "Upon that revelation, the rock of that revelation, I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And he said, "Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom." Now there is the key to the whole thing. The keys to the kingdom. You don't have anything locked unless there's something valuable. The kingdom of God is the most valuable thing in the world, that you know the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. I don't know how many keys we got to this place. I wish we had one master key, but we don't. We've got 100. And every day, I'm looking for a key to get in some room or some situation or some. We got a key. So I go in and I go say, Becky, do we have a key? And she finds me the key. But the key is so important. So many Christians are professing Christianity, but they don't have the key. So that means they can't unlock the door to receive that which is valuable. So Jesus said, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And he did. And on the day of Pentecost, the spokesman for the church was who? That same one, Peter. And they asked him, said, what shall we do? The same people that crucified Christ were convicted in their hearts, the Bible said. They said, what shall we do? And here's the man with the key. And he said, these are the keys to the kingdom. Plural. Jesus said keys, K-E-Y-S, plural. These are the keys. He said, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What did Christ say about the Holy Ghost? He said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. There's no promise of power without the Holy Ghost. And so churches that embrace the doctrine of Christianity but deny the power of the Holy Spirit are a powerless people, a keyless people, and they certainly do have no dominion and no power and no authority. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to see everybody in San Antonio saved. But it's not just enough to bring them to Christ. I want to see you being a Bible Christian that has authority and dominion and power. That you live an overcoming life. So many people profess to be Christians are bedraggled, defeated, and live exactly like the world. But those of us that have got the keys to the kingdom in our life, we live victorious, overcoming lives. Every day is victorious. And so Peter gave them the keys to the kingdom. It happened to them gloriously. They were changed. They were transformed. Suddenly these people, 120 of them, were repentant of their sins. I told you what repentance means. It's not just tears. The Bible said Esau cried, but he never repented. You can cry without repentance. Repentance is changing. But it's also something else. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they literally had a covenant with the devil. And God gets blamed for all the bad things that are happening on the earth. The insurance companies actually call it in your insurance policy, hurricanes, tornadoes, all kinds of devastating things. They call them acts of God. Anything that's bad, the world calls it acts of God. That's because they're ignorant of God's nature and God's word. Bad things are not acts of God. They're the acts of the devil. And the reason why they're still happening after Christ defeated him is because man has given the devil power. Adam and Eve were in covenant with the devil in the Garden of Eden. When they partook of the forbidden fruit, they actually developed a covenant, and many people are still in covenant with him. But when you repent, you are breaking that covenant. And every prophet in the Bible, and Jesus Christ, and John the Baptist said, repent. That means turn around. That means break the covenant with the devil. And so that covenant is broken. And then when you baptize, you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's a new covenant and you're signing it. And the name that is above every name is Jesus Christ. And so now you have a new covenant. I'm not in covenant with the devil. I am in covenant with God through Jesus Christ, his blood, his name. I'm in covenant with him. That gives me power and authority. But finally, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues just like they did on the day of Pentecost. And Jesus said that if you believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. It was yet to happen. It happened on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 1 and 8, Jesus said, and you shall have power. And the truth is, somebody would say, Pastor, what you're preaching is not true. It's not happening. You're making my point. It's absolutely not happening. Churches are dead, dry, dingy, and powerless. And they go through an hour's formula every Sunday, but there's no power. They go out into the world, and they're exactly like the non-believer. The truth is that Jesus said, when this hour, and this is our hour, Christ is going to come in the lifetime of some people sitting in this building. And this is our finest hour. But Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. Did you ever read what Jesus did? He cast out devils. He healed the sick. He opened blind eyes. He unstopped deaf ears. He loosed the dumb tongue. He healed the crippled limbs. He rose the dead. And Christ himself said, greater works than these shall you do. There's no hope from this world, not in the White House, the State House, or the schoolhouse, and in most church houses. But if the church of the living God will become the church, and we will repent and break the covenant with the devil, get the name of Jesus on us and get filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and rise up to the authority that God has given us and realize that we're supposed to have dominion and we're supposed to have power. You said, oh, I'm praying for a family that lives next door to me and I just haven't been able to get them to come to church. They might not ever come to church until you get power and dominion in your life. But the first time they call you in the middle of the night and say, my baby is in a convulsion and sick and dying, and you get up and go over there and lay your hands on that baby, and that baby gets healed like that, suddenly you've got their attention. It's time for the church of the living God to quit playing patty cake. You can't dance with the devil on Saturday and break his hold with you on Sunday. You've got to totally break the covenant with the devil and say, I'm plugged in, baptized, turned on, tuned in with Jesus Christ. I am a born-again believer, filled with his spirit, baptized in his name, washed in his blood, and watch out for me because I've got power and dominion over the devil, and there's one demon in hell that has control over me. I come against the devil every day of my life. You don't know what demons are. I thought demons were something when I was young. I don't know what was wrong with me, but I used to get what we called the hives. They just break out of my head, like particular two, like little demon horns. And my mother would go down and get a nurse that lived down the road from us, and they would do something, and they'd pray, and then they'd go down. But I thought childhood disease, oh, you don't know anything until you turn 70. There's new demons that come against you when you're 70 that you never met when you were 16, never even was in the same county with them. So I get up every morning, and I rebuke the devil. I bind the devil. I bind him in my flesh. I bind him in sickness. I bind him in poverty. I bind him in depression. And I can do that because I've got authority. Where'd you get the authority? The blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit. I didn't just get saved and shake some preacher's hand. I had a born-again experience that Jesus talked about in John chapter 3. Let me hurry along here. Paul in chapter 19 of the book of Acts is just a fantastic chapter. When Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, what he said? He said, I give you the power to bind and loose. That's the key to dominion right there, being able to bind things and loose things. I'm going to ask you, you don't have to raise your hand, do you really have power to bind demons? Do you do that? Have you ever done that in your life? I'm going to ask you the second question. Do you ever have power to loose angels? He said, bind and loose. You can bind the curse. You can loose the blessing, praise God. I get up and confess every day good things in my life. I'm loosing things. But the Bible said, and study the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. I won't have time to indulge in it very long here today. But the Bible said that Paul, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Hear what it said. Paul came and found certain disciples. These were professing believers. These were nominal Christians. These were people that are in all your churches around the world today. They were certain disciples. But it did not take Paul very long to discern that their experience with God was different than his. He said, "You're believers?" They said, "Yes, we are." He said, "There's something wrong." He detected there was something wrong. He knew there was something missing in their lives. Folks, I've got Christians of all stripes. One of my best friends is a 91-year-old real estate guy that I talk to every week, and we do a lot of real estate business together. He's 91. He's a Catholic man, a wonderful man, but he's Catholic. And I love him. But there's a difference between me and him, no matter how much I love him. Paul said there's a difference between you believers and me. He said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Paul recognized that there was an absence of dominion, power, and authority in these Ephesian believers. And I'm the same way. I thank God for every person that professes Christ and says there's a Christian. At least they're not against us. Jesus said, "If they're not against you, they're for you." I thank God for every one of them. But I also recognize that most of the women that I meet that call themselves Christian are not like Tammy. Tammy and I, she calls me dad and I call her daughter. We're that close. You know what that's based on? It's based on our race. We're the same race. That's probably what it is. No, that's not what it's based. It's based on this experience we have. And I detect in her the same spirit that is in me. Brother Warren sitting here on the front seat, I recognize in him the same spirit that is in me. I meet many Christians that are wonderful people and are friends, but I also detect there's something missing. Just like Paul detected in the Ephesians, but there's something missing. They don't have the power and they don't have the dominion. So his question to them was, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" That's the question for every Christian. You say, "I've professed Christ. I believe Christ died for my sins." That is the great first step. But Paul asks you and I ask you, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Because receiving Christ is a great thing. But receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is another thing indeed. The Bible said that Christ was given the Spirit without measure. Jesus said, "Believe on me as the Scripture has said, out of your belly." He said, "There shall flow a river." Why did he choose a river? Because you can't measure the velocity. It just keeps coming. There is no end to his government. There is no end to his power. If I use his power today to heal the sick, I'm not going to have less tomorrow. I've got a river. It just keeps flowing. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not Steve Fender. It's not Living Way Church. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said, "We have not even heard so much that there be any Holy Ghost." And then he said, "If you haven't received the Holy Ghost and you've never heard about it, then how were you baptized?" And they said, "We were baptized under John's baptism." And he said, "What? You haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus." Paul knew what I know, or I should say, I know what Paul knew. I know that the power is not in the water, but the power is in the name. I know the power is not in joining the church. The power is in the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said he baptized all of them in the name of the Lord Jesus. They received the Holy Ghost. There was a transformation in their life. That's what the American church needs, is the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of God, the power of the Holy Ghost. America's looking for an answer, and they figured out that they don't want Joe Biden president, and they don't want Trump for president. That's the biggest poll there is, that they don't want either one of them. They finally figured out that our help is not coming from a man, regardless of how different they are. This world is looking for something, and unfortunately, the American church does not have the answer, because they're like the Ephesian believers. They profess that they're believers, but they are powerless. Ladies and gentlemen, the American church must be baptized in the name of Christ. Be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, where you're not afraid to walk up to a cancer victim and say, "Can I pray pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. So walk up to a heroin addict and say, I used to be like that, but God set me free, brother. I'm going to lay hands on you and you're going to be delivered. We need the power of the living God. But there's a whole lot of Christians, and this continues right here in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. Read the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. It's the greatest church. It's the greatest picture of a docile, weak, spineless, powerless church. And it's also the greatest picture of a converted church, of something happening in the church. I believe there's a conversion coming to the church. I've not given up on the Baptist church. I've not given up on the Catholic church. I'm not giving up on the Pentecostal church. I'm not giving up on the church. He said, I'll build my church upon this rock and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's coming a revival to God's church. It's going to be a revival of power. And when God's church becomes powerful, we're going to change the world. We're going to be said about us like it was said about the disciples. They have turned the world upside down, have come here too. This situation in our country is waiting for the church of the living God to take its place on center stage. It's time for us to become the church, not just a group of handshaking people that hand out social favors, but a church that is able to cast out devils and heal the sick and transform people's lives. This is our finest hour. And so when they saw the power that Paul had, the Bible said that there were Jews that said, we'd like to have that power. And so they said, just as people are saying today, we're believers. We're just like Paul. We're believers in the Christ that came. And so they watched Paul, and Paul would heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils. And they said, we want to do that. And so the Bible said there were seven sons of Sceva. Sceva was a devout Jew. There were seven sons of Sceva. And they said, we saw how Paul did it. Paul walked out there and he held his hand just like this. And he gathered him just like that. And he said certain words just like, said, we're going to do the same thing. And so there was a man that was terribly possessed with a demon. I meet people every week that are demon possessed. And just tell they're demon-possessed. I preached in Moline, Illinois one time. The pastor told me, said, I got five demon-possessed people in this congregation. Said, Steve, don't stir them up. He said, I just don't have time to fool with them. He said, if you're going to stir them up, you're going to cast them out. I'm not fooling with them. I meet demon-possessed people every week. The devil is real. Demons are real. The greatest thing the devil is using today is drugs. It's a great tool destroying people's lives. And we're doing everything we can to get these people unhooked. Every kind of medicine, every kind of treatment, every kind of halfway house, every kind of hospital. But the truth is, they need supernatural deliverance. And these seven sons of Sceva knew a demon-possessed man, and they said, we're going to go out and emulate what Paul did. What they didn't realize, that just professing to be a Christian was not enough. They had to be empowered. They had neither the blood, nor the name, nor the Holy Spirit. They had never repented, so they were still in league with the one that they were trying to cast out. And Jesus said, you can't cast out Beelzebub by the finger of Beelzebub. You can't cast out the devil if you've got the devil. You've got to have something different. And so the Bible said that these seven sons of Sceva went in and they tried to emulate the Apostle Paul and cast out the devil. What happened to them? The devil in that man was stronger than they were because they were professing, but they did not possess. They didn't have the power. They had no dominion. They had no power in their life. And the Bible tells kind of a funny, sad story. But when they got through with that little demon exorcism that they were trying to perform, the Bible said that that man that was demon-possessed jumped on them. And as the guy said, beat him around the head and face. I mean, he tore them up and they fled, seven of them. One demon-possessed man beat seven of them because they were powerless and they fled bleeding and naked. You talk about a failure. That's exactly where most professing Christians would be if they came in confrontation with the devil. Several years ago, there was a woman a Holy Ghost-filled woman that came to this church standing in a line. And she was talking as they were waiting to vote. She was talking to this woman. And she said to her, the woman said to her, she said, I'm a witch. She said, I have great powers. I'm a witch. The lady was similar to Tammy. She was Holy Ghost-filled. She said, and I'm a Christian and I'm Holy Ghost-filled. And my God is greater than yours. The woman said, I challenge you to that. She brought with her a group of women to this church in the building next door, and I met with her and the woman that brought them, and we cast out the devils out of seven of them, and every one of them repented. Every one of them got filled with the Holy Spirit. Every one of them got baptized in water. I'm telling you, you don't have to be afraid of the devil unless you don't have dominion and you don't have power. But the Bible said that these seven sons of Sceva were totally defeated, even though they were professing. And the demons said what? They said, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? I'm afraid that's exactly what the devil would say to many professing Christians today. We know Paul and we know Jesus, but who are you? I want to ask you, does the devil know who you are? If the devil knows who you are and you've been washed in the blood and you've got the Word of God in you and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you do not have to be afraid of the devil. The devil will circle around you and give you a wide berth. He'll find an easy target. The devil is not interested in dealing with somebody that is washed in the blood of Jesus Christ through baptism, that has broken the covenant with him and filled with the Holy Ghost. He is afraid of you. You ought to get up every morning and shout loud and declare who you are. I'm a blood-washed son of the living God. And I don't care what the devil's got. No weapon formed to me is going to prosper. Every demon that I come to today is going to bow at the name of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that we are the ultimate victor? Do you realize that eventually every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father? Ladies and gentlemen, we can no longer play church. We are in a war in this nation and in this world. The Church of the Living God must get out of the pew and get on the firing line. God didn't give you that job just because you could make $750 a week. He sent you to that job because there are demon-possessed people there that he loves and died for, and you are his soldier, and you have dominion, and you have authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you my favorite story that I told 2 months ago? I don't cast away friends, and I don't cast away miracles. When God does a miracle in my life, I remember it forever. And I praise him forever. I praise God for what he's doing today. I praise God for what he did 50 years ago. I praise God. The Bible said they rehearse what God had done. You need to rehearse what God has done in your life. Get it out and look at it. It's new and fresh all over. I told you hurriedly this story in closing a few weeks ago. But when we were just getting started, I didn't tell you this. That's the reason I'm reminded of this. On a Wednesday night, over on Wedgwood Street, that's where we had a little church building. I bought that little church from the Baptist. It seated about 200. We had about 40 people there on a Wednesday night. Houston Mike was in that service with us. And everybody in that building was saved, baptized, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. But after the service began, a beautiful Hispanic woman, about 5'8" or 5'9", 20-some years of age, walked in the back and sat down in the back and sat there while we had service and wept. And when we made that altar call, she came to that altar, never been around anything like this in her life. But when we laid hands on her, the Spirit of God came upon her, baptized her in the Holy Spirit. She spoke in tongues. We baptized her that night in the beautiful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. She went home and told her mother about the experience, and her mother disowned her just like that. She said, "Don't ever step foot inside of my house again. We are Catholics, and you have got involved with a cult. Don't ever come back to my house, Elizabeth. Don't ever come back." But a few weeks later, Elizabeth was still strong in the Lord. She didn't know much scripture. She worked with 10 ladies in a secretarial pool in downtown San Antonio. And within a matter of a week or two of her being filled with God's Spirit, every one of those 10 ladies had been filled with the Holy Spirit without even coming to church. They received the Holy Spirit in the offices. Her boss forbid her to talk about it and opened up a closet, a janitor's closet. And there was Elizabeth with her hands laid on somebody praying through the Holy Ghost. He just shut the door and said, "I give up." Friend, she was filled. She was filled with God's power. Dominion over all. Dominion over all.